Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. As you are finding your way to that passage of Scripture, I do want to say that we have been studying for some months now the will of God. And what I basically did in my own study is looked up about every verse that I could think of in the New Testament regarding God's will. And so I tried to categorize them. I actually did that some years ago. But then as I was going through this study with us these last several months, I kind of rearranged it, tried to make it all a little bit more cohesive and a little bit more helpful in how I outlined it. And I came up, and of course we've been preaching this, I came up with 7 pages of the will of God. And we had looked at the meaning of God's will, the importance of God's will, how to determine God's will in our lives. And then fourthly, we looked at biblical principles when determining proper conduct, characteristics of Christians doing God's will of God regarding the believer's salvation, and Bible examples of those who followed God's will, which of course we saw last week was there was Jesus, there was David, and there was Paul. And so I told you when I was doing this, I'll give you a handout on this if you ever want it. And so they're on the back table if you would want to look at those. That can be a good Bible study for you to look up the verses and study those out. This evening, I want to continue with the will of God, but as it concerns vocation. Now, it was interesting. I got up here and I think, okay, what is the dictionary definition of vocation? So some of you that may have seen me up here look like I was texting. I wasn't. Give me the definition of vocation. And basically, you probably know this, a strong feeling of suitability for a particular career or an occupation. And certainly this can be something that can be a real trauma to our lives. Of course, I deal with military people here all the time, as well as college students, and they're seeking God's will. So you get a major and you study certain things, and then you graduate and you do something totally different sometimes. And so that happens, and circumstances leads us in a certain way. Now, certainly, some of the principles that we're going to look at here and see in the Scripture, we're going to see could also apply to, you know, how to determine God's will regarding a mate, how to determine God's will regarding a certain direction I'm going to in life. This is not original with me. When I was in college, I took a course by Dr. James Bellis, and it's on biblical counseling, of all things. And he had some notes on determining or counseling in the area of the will of God. And so some of those things that we went through in the last several months that I have in outline form, some of those I got from him. But basically, I tried to not just follow somebody's outline. I tried to find out what the Bible said. Now, this particular information I want to give you, for the most part, not totally, but for the most part, is something that he gave us in class way back in like 1981. That's a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I just let Aaron read a book, and it had on the back of that Bob Jones University, and he asked me, did you get this when you were in school? I said, well, no, and it's not that old of a book, but they do publish some books since I graduated. So, but it is an interesting thing that we do find some areas that will help us to know the will of God as to what God would have us to do. And so, God, the will of God as it concerns vocation. All right, and I think I need some help, Ken, if you can help me on that. God does have a will for every person. Now, we're told in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, both holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, what's the word? Transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now, if you want to change, you know, it starts right here, folks. Starts in the mind. And of course, to have God's mind on things is so important, that you may renew your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the apostle here is assuming that God has a will for you, and this is how you go about finding it. In the book of Romans, if you go over to chapter 1, we definitely see that the apostle Paul was called to be an apostle. So how did he know God had called him to be an apostle? Well, we know the answer to that is because when he was on the road to Damascus, the scripture tells us that that he was struck down, and God, he saw this light, and he looked up and said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And he said, it is hard for thee to kick up against the pricks. And he said, this is what I want you to do. Now, wouldn't that be easy if that's how it happened to us, that God would just send a voice from heaven and tell us exactly what we are to do? But we do know that there are certain things that we can find in the Bible that will help us. Now, in order to really know God's will, you've got to get into motives. Because our motives can sometimes mislead us. And remember, we talked about some negative things in finding God's will, is that some people call things God's will just because they have some impression. And the fact is, we are not to determine things just because we had a whim. You know, sometimes we can get the idea, well, you know, I think I'd like to be a policeman, which is what I used to say when I was in third grade. All right? What do you want to be when you grow up, Davey? I said, I want to be a police officer. And I even drew a picture of that. Or, you know, I would like to be, you know, and whatever. We could mention a lot of things. But the fact is, our motives need to be right. And we want to be in line with God. So if we're going to be in line with God, we have to, first of all, have a proper vertical relationship with the Lord. Now, a vertical relationship is my relationship to God. And a proper vertical relationship with the Lord. So I always have to ask myself, am I right with God? How would I know what God wants if I am not right with the Lord? How do I know I'm not listening to my impulses? How do I know I'm not listening to some satanic plan to somehow get me off course? How do I know that? Well, this is why I want to be right with the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You know what that says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Now, the things he's talking about there is clothing and food and, you know, your daily needs in life. But certainly one of our daily needs is we want to be doing what God would have us to do. And if we are going to seek God first, God can give us answers. We're told in the book of Mark, chapter 12, if you want to go over there, Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, the scripture says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." So our heart has to do with our desires and our hearts, with all our soul, our life, with all our mind. So you have to ask yourself sometimes, what do you think about the most? And the fact of our thoughts can many times get us going in the wrong direction. But if we would put God first and love Him with all our mind and with all thy strength, and he says, this is the first and great commandment. And I was just reading this little booklet, Aaron, on the law. And it just is amazing to me that God has all these commandments and all these laws. But what is the bottom line for all of that? God says, or Jesus said, to make sure you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so that is important. And of course, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, so that ye might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we find here that there needs to be a proper relationship, because we can be very misled. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah tells us. Who can know it? And because our hearts are deceitful, we can sometimes be thinking wrong, and our desires could be wrong. So we need to have a proper vertical relationship. Secondly, we should have a proper horizontal relationship. A proper horizontal relationship. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5, speaks about our relationship with others. And it tells us in chapter 5, verse 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come offer thy gift." So some people think, well, I'm right with God, but I'm not right with so-and-so. Why? Why aren't you right? Now, you may not be able to help that. You may have tried to reconcile and it's not worked. But if you have not, you know, what's implied here is this. God is not interested in our worship if we are not interested in being reconciled to others. Do you see that? And in Matthew chapter 18 tells us in verse 15, and this is why there is such a long description as to what to do when there are things going on between you and somebody else. Matthew 16 and verse chapter 18, verse 15. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," what's the next word? Go. So if there is something between you and them, you need to go to them. Now, ideally, someone said, well, you know, I didn't do anything. Well, if you have aught against, if you find out that your brother has aught against you, what does he tell you to do? He tells you to go. If you have aught against them, you go. So ideally, the idea is you've got two people that are in opposition to each other. If everyone acted scripturally, guess what? You'd meet in the middle. Someone can say, well, you know, that person had wronged me so big. And you could say, well, you know, if that is the case, it's up to them to do something. But does that mean you were totally innocent in this? Does that mean that you didn't do anything that could have led this to have happened? And you say, well, my part is so small and his part is so big. Well, isn't that like what happens with you and me and God? Right? How big were our sins against God? Just little? No, it was so big that it sent Jesus to die on the cross. Right? So our sins against him are huge. Of course, Jesus gives the illustration in the book of Matthew regarding a man who had owed the king a multitude or millions of dollars in today's economy. And he went to the king and said, you know, please forgive me of all my debt. And he said, well, I forgive you. But then he had somebody who had a very small amount to pay that owed him maybe $16. And the man said, oh, forgive me. And the man that had been forgiven millions of dollars said to the man that owed him $16, if you can't pay me, I'm going to throw you in prison. So when the king heard about that, how many remember the story? Okay, when the king heard about that, he said, that big amount I forgave you and you wouldn't forgive him of that small amount? The same thing is told to us in the book of Ephesians, that we should forgive one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And we have to understand that many times we are saying, well, we're right with God when we're not right with others. And what is the second greatest commandment? Now, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Guess what verse 31 says? Love your neighbor. So it's important that we have a right horizontal relationship with others. And then thirdly, it's important that if we're trying to find out what God wants for us, it's very important that we have a desire to know and to do God's will. So we have to ask the question honestly, because no one's making you do anything. But in our hearts, we have to ask ourselves this question: do I really want to know? Or do I put conditions on what I would want him to do? Now, George Mueller, in his book on the biography of George Mueller, Mueller says that when a person gets to the point where he has no will of his own, he's at 9/10 of the way of finding God's will. So to get to the point where we're actually saying, God, I want what you want. So this is going to be serious. Four things. Desiring to know God's will. Now, I hinted at this last week, and I thought this is a good time to put this in. So, if I am really wanting to know God's will, one thing I will do is, number one, I will seek God's will. So, I am not going to be satisfied with some general, oblivious idea of God's will. I'm going to seek that. You know, I often have somebody who is not saved. And they'll say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. And I say, well, you know, let me show you how you can know. And sometimes they say, oh, I'm not interested. What are they telling me? They don't really want to know what's going to happen when they die. Sometimes I'll say to them, I'll give them the gospel, and I go through the points of the gospel like I did Sunday morning. And I go through the gospel with them, and they're saying, well, I'm not too sure about that. And I said, well, do you really want to study this out? Oh, yeah, I do. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you something to read. It's called the Book of John. And if you would study diligently the Book of John, God will show you what it means to have eternal life and how to have it. So I'll say to them, would you be willing to do that? And sometimes they'll say, yeah, I'll do that. I get back with them after about a week. Hey, did you do that yet? Oh, no. No, I didn't get to that. I said, well, you know, if you really want to know, you're going to seek it out. Now, some Christians are like that, you know. They come to me and said, Pastor, what does the Bible say about this? And so I can give them my opinion. Sometimes what I'll sometimes do is say, okay, let me give you something to read. Let me encourage you to really understand this subject. And they say, okay, and they take the book. I get back with them. Did you read it? No. Been busy. Okay, I understand that. I'm busy too. We're all busy. 1 week goes by. 1 month goes by. 2 months go by. I was talking to somebody once about that and about a subject, and the spouse said to me, that book is still in the same place it was sitting months ago. Do you think they really wanted to know? No, probably what they wanted was to get my approval. So if they didn't like my answer, they could go somewhere else. Now, the point that we need to understand is God wants us to know His will. The book of Hebrews, let's turn there. The book of Hebrews, and in chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and here's this chapter on faith, which tells us that but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. To please who? Who is that? Who is Him? Well, it's speaking about God. And we are to come to God in faith, who says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. So you got to really believe that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. But I left out a word. Diligently seek Him. And do I really want to know? I mean, after all, this could change the whole direction of my life. So you get this job offer that says, okay, you make so much money. And you say, woohoo, God answered prayer, and you go. And then you find out that maybe that wasn't what you should have done. And all that time and energy and waste of money. And you begin to realize, you know what, I didn't even ask God. I'm reading Joshua. Anybody in the book of Joshua in your Bible reading? Okay, I'm reading Joshua. Remember the people of Gibeon? And God had allowed the Israelites to destroy what nation or what city? Anybody know? Jericho. Remember? And the walls came a-tumbling down. So, their next city to conquer was, I believe it was Ai. Well, they didn't seek the Lord on that. And as a result, instead of acting through God's wishes, they said, you know, I think we can beat this little town. We don't even need all our men to do this. And it was Gibeon that was later on. Remember, the Gibeon, these guys came and they walked And they had their shoes were old and their clothes were old. And they came and said, help us, be our ally. And they said, well, you poor little things. They said, we'll go ahead and make peace with you. Well, they found out that they really didn't come that long of a way. How far did they come? Just a short distance. But they had deceived them. But the point I'm making is it says they did not inquire of the Lord. So as a result, they made a bad decision. So it is important that we understand that God wants us to seek His will. Now, we can be very impatient, can't we? Because we want to know, and we want to know now. And sometimes it takes sometimes months and years before God makes His will very clear to us. So, I know when I was looking to work at a summer camp one summer when I was in college, I waited in line. I just talked to Tony Miller today. He has been in our church, and I waited in line. He was the student counselor at Bob Jones University back in the 1970s. So I thought, well, I'm going to get his advice in that. Well, I went to go see him, and there was such a long line. I thought, man, I don't know if I have time. I have to go to my next class or somewhere. And then Jim Berg, who wrote Change Into His Image, was next door to him. And he came out and he said, are you waiting for Brother Miller? I said, yes. He says, I've got some time available. I can talk with you. I thought, oh, okay. So I went in and talked with him, and I was wondering if I should work at a summer camp that summer. And Brother Berg asked me this question. He said, when do you have to know? I said, well, I want to know now. He said, but when do you have to know? And he said to me, he said, now, and he gave me this quote that said, patience, and I wrote this down, patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. Let me say that again. Patience is accepting a difficult situation from God without giving Him a deadline to remove it. And I said to him, well, I don't really need to know until a couple months. This was probably February, March, or something like that. And he encouraged me to just keep seeking and waiting for the Lord. And so I said to him, I'll do that. Well, as it turned out, in 2 months, everything had changed in my situation that it was very, very clear I should not do that. Why? Because I was broke. And I had to pay for school. And of course, I wanted to say, well, God will provide if I go serve Him on some ministry. And He could if He wanted me to do it. Because what the Lord orders, He always pays for. But sometimes you begin to realize, you know what? It wouldn't be very smart to do. Anyway, so the point was, I accepted that situation and didn't give God a deadline. And when the deadline had to happen, I already knew the answer. So we ought to be seeking God's will. Number two, we need to pray to know God's will. We need to pray to know God's will. James chapter 1. Now, I was doing this outline. Did I get my verse right? And I didn't even look it up. It's verse 5. Yes. James chapter 1, verse 5. Do you know what it says? Can we go there? Let's say this together. James chapter 1, verse 5. And let's read that out loud together. Can we do that? Okay, here we go. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now that means liberally, means very generously. And God is a generous God. We have not, 1 John tells us, because we, as James chapter 5:4 it is, we have not because we ask not. Yeah, that's in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. So we do find that, you know, if this is something I'm really seeking, let's make this a matter of prayer. And let's ask God to show us what we are to do. He said, well, he hasn't shown me yet. Well, then he probably is enjoying the fellowship. Right? You know, sometimes children are so busy, as they grow up, they go out the door. And you just want to talk with them. Hey, let's just talk. I'm too busy. You know, so sometimes, you know, what you find is that if they ask you a question, kind of postpone the answer just so you can have some time to talk with them. And the Lord wants us to fellowship with Him. And we are to ask Him. And Mueller, in his trying to understand the will of God, he says there's certain steps he goes through, but he says basically, just ask God outright what you want. Ask Him what you need. So, pray to know God's will. Thirdly, accept God's will, because His answer may not be what you want. And this is what we saw in the book of Matthew 26, verse 42. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as I described Sunday morning, the intense, terrifying, and horrifying torture that Jesus went through. And He knew every bit of that, not to mention His separation from God the Father, that He knew this was happening. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, even the Son of God in human flesh said, Lord, if there's any way this could be different, please change it. But what did He say? He said, no, not my will, but thine be done. One of the biggest areas of knowing God's will and desiring it is accepting whatever answer He gives. And we may not like the answer He gives, but He wants us to be willing to do whatever He wants us to do. And then fourthly, be willing to do His will. God knows what our intents are, right? You know, I mentioned sometimes somebody comes to me and says, what should I do in this situation? And it's not what they wanted to hear. So you know what they do? They don't do it. You know, that's very humbling as a preacher and a pastor. Sometimes you're giving counsel and you've given the best wise advice you know, and they just, don't like that answer. Well, it's one thing to do that with the pastor. It's another thing to do that to God. And we're told in John chapter 7, and we looked at that verse in a different context. John chapter 7, let's go there. In John chapter 7, verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. And so you have to be willing to do His will. And God will give us answers. So, we're speaking here in terms of these prerequisites of knowing God's will. Number one, to have a right relationship with God, having a right relationship with others, and really wanting to know. And this is why, and I've often stated this, this is why, by God's grace, I try to pray this every day. Because I go through the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I'll pray that for myself. I pray that for my wife. I pray that for my son. I pray that for my father-in-law. And I've just started praying it for my future daughter-in-law. That we would not just simply go through life wandering, but that we would seek God's will, know God's will, accept God's will, and by God's grace, with everything within us, that we intend to do God's will. Now, you give me an individual like that, then when we get into these methods of finding out God's will, most of the problem's already done. It's already solved. And may God help us to do His holy will. Our Father, as we go to prayer this evening, help us, Lord, to come to You, trusting in You. Help us to make sure that there is nothing between ourselves and You. That we would make sure there's nothing between ourselves and somebody else. Help us to make sure that we are truly, genuinely wanting what You want. And we'll praise You for what You do. For Jesus' sake, amen.